Welcome back to Long Story Short. We are
Jade,
Stevie,
and I'm Elle, three childhood best friends who will be discussing everything life has to throw at us and all the lessons in between. You guarantee completely honest, unfiltered opinions and a few laughs along the way. Oh, and just a warning, no story will ever be short. If you enjoy this episode, you can click follow and subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Hi, girls.
Hi, girls.
Oh, girls, I'm still getting over last week's episode and the response to last week's episode.
Yes. Girls, I didn't realise just how common the vacuum fetish is.
I know.
That, like, our lovely listener that sent in their confession so bravely, like, I wish you could see some of the responses from people that just been like, yeah, totally into it. I hope, I mean, I'd love to fucking share them, but, you know, just so you know, mate, you are not alone. And your wife stepping in and stepping up and getting involved in your fetish is very honourable, and loads of people like are very impressed by her. So just to let you pass that on, bravo to you two.
Yeah, lots of people think your wife's an absolute legend.
Yeah, you should start on OnlyFans. Oh my god, you could earn a fortune. You could earn a fortune. You could earn a lifetime supply of fucking Henry bags.
See, you came for a bit of fun. You've walked away with some career advice.
Yes, you have. Well, having aired that episode and asking you guys to send in some of your fetish confessions, we have got a few very random confessions, and they are short and they are sweet. So we have got an episode of some really funny, really absurd fetish confessions coming your way.
How's your week been, girls?
It's been lovely. I've had a week off. I've been down the caravan. I've done nothing but eat, sleep, breathe in the fresh air, do some gardening, read some books, do some writing, which is nice. The caravan is such a good little writing retreat. Like, it's so secluded that I just have nothing to focus on. And for that reason, it's very freeing. So I just write. I write a load of shit. I've written a play, a short film. Well, I've finished one, should I say. And now I just need, like I said last week, I just need somebody's money to make it. You know, it will win a BAFTA eventually, I'm sure. But for now, I just need someone to bite the bullet and go, go on, Jade, I'll give you 10 grand to put a film together. So if anybody out there has a bit of money, hit me up.
Send it Jade's way.
So, Jade, just to clarify, all the funding that you're requesting is like from different organisations that will support the production of a play, a film. Like, that's the sort of route we're going down.
Yeah, so the Arts Council is there to support art and culture. I mean, there's slashes happening, so it's really hard to get funding at the moment just because they are being very... what's the word? Tight is the word. No, they're being very anal about what they do and don't give, well, excuse the pun, in our fetish episode. but they're being very anal as to who is and isn't going to get their funding. But anyway, yeah, the way that it works is that you put together a project, or, you know, you write, like, in regards to the play, it has to be a non-for-profit event or project. So for instance, the one that I'm writing at the moment to the Arts Council, or that I'm just getting proofread and have sent off, is asking them for some money for a research and development phase so that I can finish the play, having run some workshops around some of the themes and having hired some professionals, directors, dramaturgs, people with lived experience, theatre makers, to come into the rehearsal room for us to flesh this play out and make sure that it is hitting, like, any of the curiosities or questions that we've got around it, and the themes and the story arc and the structure of it, that we kind of hire other professionals, get into a rehearsal room, do some long form improvisation where we're like in character for lengthy periods of time with like a kind of an objective, and then we rewrite. Anyway, I'm going into a right waffle. What I'm trying to say is, yes, Stevie, what I'm asking for is some money so that I can pay myself to finish writing the play because I've already got some theatres that want to put it on, but I don't feel like it's in the best state it can be in order for it to be put on. So me and my writing partner Olivia are asking for some money so that we can spend 4 weeks making it a fucking shit hot play so that we can put it on in any of the theatres that want it. That's for the theatre one, but it's really difficult. You can't make a profit if you get but that's later down the line. This is just like the first phase. Then we're going to ask for some more money to put it on. And then BFI are currently doing a England like Future Film Fund where you can apply for anything from 5 to 25 grand to make a short film. So you kind of propose the story and you tell them who you're working with and, you know, how far you are in regards to like script and project and how quick you can do it and, you know, what support have you got? And then they just kind of make their mind up as to which ones they're most interested in funding. And then you do or you don't get funding. But there are some incredible pots that are open. But arts and culture at the moment, I've just seen so many slashes in funding. It just means that anybody applying, there's like a obviously there's thousands of people that apply for funding. So you just have to be really sure. And you have to sell it as well. You're like selling the story. You're selling the product that you're trying to create. So there's a whole business side to this industry that I don't really care for, but you just kind of have to if you want to make art, you have to make it has to you know you have to be able to finance it. It's as simple as that.
Do you know what? It's fascinating to me because you just don't see what goes into making a film or a play. Like you see the end product, but you just don't see all the work behind it. And yeah, that's why it fascinates me.
And I'm very much at the start of my career as a writer. So, you know, I'm an actor and a theatre maker, but this, like, I wouldn't say that I'm a writer. So I should say that I'm a writer, but, you know, I've written before, but you know, I've come around to writing through different streams, acting, theatre making, devising, etc. And now I'm really trying to kind of hone the craft. So I've got many hours of studying and lots of like filling up my brain with incredible people who make incredible films and plays and write wonderful novels and stuff. So it's just not enough hours in the day, girls. I just need a really, really, really rich man to come along and say, I'll give you all my money for nothing. I want nothing in return. So I can say thank you very much.
I thought you meant just have a rich man in general. I thought, yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. In general.
Put on your play, but also just, you know, keep you afloat, take you out when you want to.
Yeah.
Give you a nice life.
Loads of money. Yeah.
Look at us independent women.
Yeah, I know. It's like International Women's Day is well and truly gone, isn't it?
Standing on our own, making our own path. Who's got any money? Can I sell a kidney? Where do you want to come into my home?
Can someone just take care of me?
No, it's so true. Like, I think this is half of the issue, isn't it? You know, like, I say it all, like, tongue in cheek, but I do, like, it is, there is a whole business side of being an artiste that, you know, if you can get your head around it and you can be bold and brazen enough to write the applications and be passionate about it, you know, people, you're selling something and people will buy it. That's, you know, nothing comes for free. And I totally get that. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, you're an artist. You're a little bit, you know, everything's amazing. You're all over the place. And it's like, no, it's an hard graft. There's a lot of people that drop out of it because you're not going to, like, it takes many, many years of not earning a lot of money and grafting a lot of free hours in any one week. Because you're passionate about something and you love doing something. I love collaborating with people, you know, but is it making me fortunes of money? No. But do I come away feeling really, really happy and really fulfilled? Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully one day I'll be in a position where I haven't got to work multiple other jobs in order to fund just living and also like fund my art. But you have to fund your own work. It's as simple as they have to put your money where your mouth is. And until you get really, you know, until you get really good, some people get really great lucky breaks, or some people are really naturally talented and their first novel or their first play or their first film really takes off. But it's just, you know, it just comes in waves, doesn't it? Some people do that and a lot of people don't, but it's how long people are willing to hold on for. I think that's half of the game. How long can you hold out? How long can you stay in the game before you are literally at a point where you're either really miserable or you're really broke and you're like, this ain't gonna work no more? Or you want a different path, you want to start a family, or you want some stability. It's quite a roller coaster of career. Anyway, that's a whole conversation for another time, girls. I'm so sorry. I took us down a very, like, very sensible conversation, but actually we're here to talk all about fetishes. So, yeah.
Maybe there's some sort of fetish around writing or a theatre. There must be like a theatre fetish.
Well, there's probably a fetish.
Isn't that just role play?
Oh, yeah, a bit of role play. Oh, girls, there's nothing I would what? I would literally squirm if someone said to me, should we? Actually, would I? Would I or would I embrace it?
Would you? You would be in the costume in a heartbeat, but like not in a sexy way. Like she'd literally be like full on in character.
I would.
Done her research, been in the attic, got the 1990s belts out, put a braid in her hair.
I would so embrace that. I'd be like, you tell me what you want, I'll meet you at the bar dressed up as a fucking air hostess.
Girls, do you know what? I actually think it would be really, really fun to like play a different character in a bar. Like, I'm not talking a sexual fetish now, but like go in and just pretend to be someone completely different to what you are. That must be so much fun.
Yeah, that's why I got into it. I love it. I love stepping into characters. I love like escaping my own reality and just being like, I'm gonna be this person today. Or like, I just got my scripts through for my screen acting class, and I'm like, yes. Last week I was a fucking wizard, girls. It was in fucking incredible. I was a wizard. I was a wizard in like a one of the Fantastic Beasts. If anyway, doesn't matter. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun. If I think that's the whole side of it, isn't it? You have to play. You have to play. You have to make it exciting and fun.
Yeah.
Not uncomfortable.
Oh, I love
Make sure
that.
uncomfortable, don't do it. But yeah, get into it. Well, we're gonna get all into that shortly. However, before we get there,
Stevie's word of the week.
so this week's word of the week is snollygoster.
Snollygoster. That's really fun.
Jade, I think you're gonna love this word.
I was thinking this has got Jade written all over it, this word.
Snollygoster. It's funny, isn't it?
It's
Snollygoster.
definitely like set in a different time, has to be. Or like country bumpkin sort of word.
Snollygoster. It's a really cute word. I have no idea what it means, but snollygoster. Oh, I don't know. Okay, so you think I'll really like it. So it's either got something to do with my job, or it's just something really old and like boring, but you know that I'll love it, or something to do with the fucking plants.
Oh,
I was going to say the garden.
okay, I've taken you down the wrong path here.
Oh,
You're gonna love it because
patriarchy.
fuck the patriarchy.
Oh,
Oh.
Snollygoster. Snollygoster is a snollygoster is a person. I'm not just gonna say man, because I don't want to be sexist, but a snollygoster is a person who always thinks that they're right, and they think that them the more dominant person in the room, but actually everyone thinks they're an absolute douchebag. So they call him, oh, here comes the fucking snollygoster of the year, Timothy. Here he comes, the fucking snollygoster. Anyway, it's just a cuss word. That's all I think it is, Stevie. It's a cuss word for an absolute waste man.
I think it is somebody. Wait, what did you say, Jade? I was going to say somebody that doesn't listen to other opinions, but I think that is literally what you said, isn't
No, that's more articulate. I waffled.
it? someone that's just like has their own mind, won't be convinced by anyone else.
Okay. It is actually a shrewd, unprincipled person, especially a politician.
Oh.
Snollygoster. He's a snollygoster.
Oh, there's so many.
No morals. Got no, doesn't do the right thing, but stands there saying he is going to do the right thing.
Fucking
snollygoster.
Snollygoster. Absolute waste, man. Told ya. There's so many.
I was just about to say, I love that Jade managed to get snollygoster and waste man into the same
Absolutely. Our current houses of parliament are full of snollygosters. Snollygoster galore. Thanks, Stevie. I'm going to use that. Yeah. I'm going to use that. Oh, gosh. I'm going to use that. I love that. Thanks, Steve.
So for those of you who haven't listened to last week's episode, I'm going to do a quick recap, but please do go back and listen because it was hilarious. We had a listener write in about one of their fetishes. And as a result, we asked you to send in your fetishes. And my God, did we get some corkers. So this is hopefully going to shed some light on what people get up to in the bedroom. And, you know, if one tickles your fancy, you can give it a go.
Girls, you are going to die. I once went on a date with a guy who kept talking about sexual fantasies and used the word faunophilia. I didn't know what it meant, but was a bit embarrassed at the time, so just carried on going with it. When I went to the toilet and Googled it, I found out that faunophilia is the sexual interest of making humans act like furniture for long periods of time.
How is that even possible? How do you do that?
I'm fucking brilliant. Furniture. Oh, do you know what I fancy tonight, love? What? I really fancy you like a coffee table. Get on the floor and hold my mug, you mug. Balance some books on her head. Oh, stop. Why have we got to be the woman that gets on the fucking... No, let's switch this round.
Yeah. It's going to be the woman on the floor while he's got his feet up on her having a coffee and a wank.
Oh, what if he asks her to put a lampshade on her head? Oh, how do you figure out that you want to do that? What is that? Let's unpack that, shall we? What do you want? You want like, what does he want to do? Does he just want to like stick his willy in like randomly?
Is it just being sat on?
No.
I don't know. I'm thinking sofas.
Love that.
I mean, that would be the most logical thing.
Why though? But why sofa?
Maybe. I mean, maybe he wants to eat his dinner off your back, but like, how is that sexual?
Oh, girls, have you seen that? Don't ask me how I've seen this, right? Okay, and don't judge me. This must have been like 15 years ago. Somehow I saw a video. Oh, it's going to make me gag. It was in an Asian country, and these men were eating sushi off of a woman's body, but they could pay more to eat it off her pubes.
What?
Ooh. Eat it off her pubes. Hairy sushi. Salmon nigiri with a side of pube.
Oh, no.
Honestly, he's traumatised me for life.
Oh, God, we get teeth.
Pube in your teeth. No one needs that.
Elle, I'm not going to lie. I thought you were going to say eat it out of somewhere. And so the pubes are actually better than where my filthy mind went. And I gagged.
Some people like it though. Some people like a bush. Wrapped around their sushi is new to me, but you know, like whatever floats your boat. Girls, your fetishes episode. I have to send you over what my cousin admitted to me on a drunk holiday in Tenerife. We were both about to jump into the pool on the first day of the holiday when he decided to pull me to the side and ask me to remove the big inflatable swan that was in the pool. I laughed, but he was dead serious. And when I inquired as to why he was so freaked out by the inflatable, he turned around to me and said that he's always had a fetish for inflatables, especially ones that make squeaky noises. Could I remove it so he didn't get a boner in front of the rest of our family? What the fuck?
Tom's
I'm
just poked his head
sorry.
around the door right at the point of getting a boner from an inflatable. You walked into the fetish episode there, my husband.
I tell you what, though, Christmas must be a nightmare with inflatables. People have snowmen, Father Christmas, you name it. Imagine walking down the street, you're in a terrible state.
I mean, there's one thing being turned on by a slippery piece of rubber, but one that's inflatable and flying his hands around, that is, surely you can't. It must be, he said squeaky noises, so it's the squeaky noises. It's got to be the texture. It's like latex, isn't it, girls? So there's like, I mean, it's a bit weird that it's the swan in the pool that they were like, get it out before I get a boner in front of my mum. But yeah, that's odd.
Hi, girls. I'm not quite sure if this is a fetish, but I couldn't not tell you. A guy I was dating confessed drunkenly that when he travels for work, he cannot wait to get to the hotel because he loves coming in the curtains.
Oh, no. No.
In the curtains?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Needless to say, we didn't last very long, and I'm very glad that my house has no curtains, only blinds.
Oh.
Hope you enjoyed this one.
Oh my god, I would fucking, oh, do you know what, that is a job and a half. There must be some serious stories that come out of people that work in hotels, you know, some of the stuff that they must have seen, most especially the people that, like, the maids that go around and do the cleaning the next day. They must see all sorts of shit, right?
It does make you think, though, doesn't it? Like, when I go into a hotel room, I'm always a bit like, oh, is it clean? Like, I have stayed in my fair share of shitholes as well. I've done hostels, I've done low budget hotels, and I have to, like, do mind over matter because I just think, oh, look at the stains on the floor, or like, oh, now I've got to check the bloody curtains as well.
Well, I heard once that in a hotel, obviously all the bedding and stuff is changed for every new customer, but the communal bedding, as in like the cushions and stuff on top, are not changed every time. So now the first thing I do is like throw off the cushions every time I get into a hotel. It just freaks me.
Oh, I know. Oh, it's God. Me. No,
you know, like when they put the pillars and then they'll put like the sort of decorative
cushions.
Yeah. Apparently they're like a lot of places, they're not washed every time.
Oh, God.
Oh, I can't think about it.
Well, you've just brought me straight onto this other fetish that's come through. Hi, girls. I realised that I really like the concept of furry materials. I find sex a little bit boring unless I'm able to explore with a furry material, maybe put underneath me or put underneath her. So much so that when round my mother-in-law's, she had a furry throw over the top of one of her sofas and I was instantly aroused. Later on that evening, when everybody went to sleep, I went downstairs and had a jolly good time with her mother-in-law's furry fro.
Oh, no.
Needless to say, I did put it in the wash. However, I think it may have come to light because my ex is already well aware of my fetish and looked at me with disdain the next day when it was drying over the banisters.
Oh, my God.
Mother-in-law's house, washed the furry, and then just left it to dry. That's raw.
The thing is, you must, like, I wonder if you get a kick out of that because it's almost like no one knows and you can just see it hanging there, like, you know, like a dirty little secret. Not that it's dirty, but, you know, like, oh, the thrill of it.
Also, like, just don't do it in someone else's throat. Like, take a little fucking scarf out with you or something. I don't know. Maybe that, yeah,
scarf.
Like, you're right.
I love that.
That's the thrill of it, isn't it? Like, he doesn't want a patchwork little cutout. He's like, yeah, someone else's furry throw.
Oh.
Okay, girls, any fetishes? Anything you've ever had? You don't have to confess.
I think I'm too vanilla for my own fetishes, girls. How can I compare with furry throws and what was the other one?
Inflatable.
Furniture. Yeah, and inflatables.
I was with somebody who was really into feet. I spoke
No.
about feet last week, though. Remember that? Not last week, the week before. The guy who was asking me for pictures,
Yeah.
yet to send me money at PayPal, but yeah, I'm up for it. I don't if I can earn money out of your fetish and I don't have to meet you, I will do whatever you want. He asked me to tie up my feet in like rope and then like my underwear and all sorts. And I was like, I'm not doing that until you send over money, honey.
Jade, did you say this was through like Instagram? How is this random contacting you?
Well, he initially sent a message and like replied to a comment that I'd put underneath somebody's post photo and then started following me and then messaged me, and it went into like that general like the unread whatever one like file. And for shits and giggles, I obviously opened it, welcomed him into like a separate folder. And was like playing along with it up until a point. And then I was like, come on then, send me some money and I'll do what you like. I'll send you some pictures. And he was like, oh, I haven't got any money at the minute. I was like, well, you're not getting a picture. Like, I was fully playing along with it. But then, like, after day two, day three, I was like, right, now fuck off. And then he started sending me pictures of his mum's feet, telling me that he licks his mum's feet when she's asleep. And I was
Oh,
like,
no.
absolutely fuck off. I'm
No.
dealing with a Jeffrey Dahmer over here, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll happily send you pictures, but yeah, I haven't heard from him in a very long while. If he sends me money on PayPal, he can have what the fuck he likes. I'll take pictures of my feet in all sorts of places, but he ain't getting nothing until he sends some dollar.
Do you know what's a really good episode to watch, actually? And I don't know if I've mentioned it here before. Olivia Attwood. So she was on Love Island. She's turned into like a she makes documentaries now, and she I think it's called Getting Filthy Rich or something. And she looks into the sex industry basically, and she set herself up on some sort of platform to see what type of response she would get from men. I don't know if she did it under her own name, but basically she was messaging back and forward with this guy and he was asking for pictures, blah blah blah. And apparently there's a name for some of these guys where they'll just constantly message you without any intention of like sending money, but they just want that constant interaction. It was very bizarre, well worth a watch, because her whole series just opened my eyes massively.
I bet.
I
I
mean,
really like, well, I don't follow her and I didn't like, I don't watch much of what she's on. Obviously, I'm self-employed and I'm at home quite a lot. So I see her on Loose Women quite a lot. She's very honest. Like, I think she'd be so good at something like that because she's like open-minded, isn't she? But I feel like, yeah, I'm going to watch it, long story short. Maybe
honestly,
get some
Elle,
ideas for a
there's
side hustle.
Yeah, they're so worth a watch. I think she's got one now all about like plastic surgery. But she asks all the questions you want to know the answers to. Like, it's not this sort of mainstream PC. Like, she actually like goes there. I'm like, yes, this is what we need.
I love that.
I love that. Why not make money out of it? Listen, sex sells, and you might as well just make a little bit of money out of it, right?
Absolutely.
Hi, ladies. I would like to clear a few things up. Everybody jokes about foot fetishes, but actually, it has a name, podophilia, and it means a passion for feet. Whilst I don't have a passion for feet, I do have queerophilia, which is that I'm attracted to nice fingers, particularly those that are manicured. Therefore, I am more than happy to pay for a weekly manicure for my girl so that they're looking on point.
Perfect. Is this man single?
Absolute dream.
I love a manicure. This sounds absolutely sensational.
I mean, I feel like we could use this as our excuse, or no, not excuse, our justification. You know, like girl math, we can be like,
Yeah.
oh, you know, he's got. What was that called? I can't actually. Queerophilia. Therefore, I have to go and get a manicure all the time.
He would fucking hate my hands. Yeah, but you have
Especially after
such
your
nice
gardening.
hands. You've got this
Oh.
weird thing about your hands.
I've got horrible hands, girls. They were never made to look beautiful. They're very much jobbing hands. They're at the worst state they've probably been in a long while at the moment. They're full of fucking eczema and currently covered in paint. And I do look after my hands as much as I can. Like, I'm someone who, like, weekly will, like, trim and file. I'll do all the skin. Like, I give myself my own manicure. But when my hands are constantly in, like, water or, like, cleaning, I don't know how people do it. They have such beautiful hands, but they, like, you can't work in a pub and have beautiful hands. I've just come to that conclusion. I say that. There are a couple of people that I work with that have got really beautiful nails. I get their acrylics done and stuff like that. And I'm like, you spend a fortune and you're just going to have your hands in bleach. But they do put gloves on. That's what I don't do. I just firm it. I often have my hands in a bowl of bleach and shouldn't do that. I don't care for my hands enough. So maybe I should go and get myself a little manicure. That's my kick up the arse. Go and get a little manicure. I love a pedicure though.
Not a fan of pedicures because I've had such different experiences. My first one, I'm sure I've said it on the podcast, I literally had my foot in a bucket in a plastic bag with water in. And then I had another one where the woman just, honestly, I just thought, hun, you are going to reach my heel bone in a minute. Like, where are you going? How much skin do you think I have on this foot? I mean, maybe that's me being like naive as to how much dry skin I had, but yeah. Feet make me feel a bit funny.
Yeah, I'm the same. And also, like, I'm obviously, like, way more ticklish on my feet than I am on my hands. So sometimes I just can't hack it, especially if you've already got gels on your toes and you need them being removed. Also, like, it's painful. Getting the little buffer thing around the skin, it's like, oh, my God, this is not a pleasant experience. And the place where I went last time, they was like, would you like the chair massage? I was like, oh, lovely. It weren't a massage. It was like being beaten up. It was so hardcore. I was thinking, like, literally my skin is getting removed from my feet. My spine is getting punched in. And I'm paying for the pleasure of this.
And being truly British, you said absolutely nothing. And when they asked you how it was, you thanked them. Probably tipped them.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Even the very uncomfortable massage chair that's not a massage, I'm like, yeah, ow, yeah. Oh, that's so, oh, yeah. Not at all enjoying it. At one point, getting punched in the head because I'm so small, the average person's neck massage is getting dashed into the head. So, yeah. I love a pedicure. I'm constantly on my feet. So every time I go in, I've chopped about a little bit. I haven't had a proper pedicure for ages, since before Christmas, but I changed around a little bit because my usual pedicurist was getting a little bit comfortable and wasn't giving me the full service. So I was like, I'll take my money away, come back to you, and then you'll appreciate my pound. Anyway, every time I go in, I think that they flip a coin as to who's going to get me because I'm always on my feet. So when they bring out the razor blade to get the serious hard skin off, they're like, going to be here for a while. And I take full pleasure. I'm like, no, I'm paying you. Enjoy. They're so efficient, actually. They actually do so good. But I get such dry heels because I'm constantly like pivoting on them, moving around. So I love a bloody foot thing. Girls, I had flashbacks when you were talking about pedicures, because I was just thinking, I was like, have there been any fetishes that I've like obliged? And then we're talking about feet, and I do remember an ex like licking my toes, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not into it. Like, God, it was hilarious. But then I just had a massive flashback of being with someone and we're, you know, midway between the act, and it's only a bit of standard mystery. However, he put his tongue in my ear.
Oh no. Ooh. Oh no.
No, it wasn't a little nibble on the earlobe, you know, some people are partial. It was a tongue in the hole of your ear.
I'm sorry, that is not okay.
But I obviously didn't want to embarrass him and be like, oh, get the fuck away. So I just kind of like edged away to a point where I was like, oh, that was weird. But, you know, I forgot about it. And then it happened again, and then it happened again. And I was like, are you trying to tell me you want me to do this to you? Because I'm fucking So I phased it out with a, I'm not really into that. Do you like that? And he was like, oh, no, I thought you were really into it. I was like, what made you think that? And he was like, well, you didn't say anything. I was like, yeah, I just kept fucking edging away. Stop putting it.
Basically acting like I'd been tasered every time you come near me. What made you think I like that?
Oh, girls, it just reminded me. It was random as well. We never discussed it. It was very unconsensual. I never asked for any tongue in my ear. And, you know, I didn't, yeah, there was no consent, no warning, no consent. Ear fucking with your tongue is very much a crime. You should always ask first.
It's also dangerous. Like, Jesus Christ, you don't know what you're going to pull out of my ears. I'm not going to lie. If I've been swimming, it could be bad.
Oh, mate. This took a turn. Well, thank you to our listeners for sending in those weird and wild fetish confessions. They were, they've definitely brightened up my evening. I'll let you know that much for sure. That's brought us to the end of this week's episode. Don't forget to give us a review, send over any questions that you've got. It's the long story short podcast 22@gmail.com. Head over to our TikTok, long story short pod, to see what we've been up to there. We'll be back next Tuesday. And don't forget, no story will ever be short.
Bye.
Bye.